Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you're a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. And also, again, probably some tears.
Yeah.
Some emotions, okay? So this week, we will be discussing a 90s comedic tragedy girly pop road trip film. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
It's all of those things.
It's all the things.
Yeah.
It is called Boys on the Side. This film stars Whoopi Goldberg, Mary Louise Parker, and Drew Barrymore. Angie, since I mentioned that this is on a road trip,
yeah.
Do you have like go-to road trip snacks, like things you always get at the gas station or bring with you?
Okay. I feel like I try to go for, obviously, depending on which gas station you stop at, there's like a variety. Yeah, they might not have everything. So usually I always get like a drink. So it would be like water, or if it's like super long, then like an energy drink or coffee. And then I usually get something like savory and then sweet. So I do like Sour Patch Kids or like the little like gummy worms. And then I'll do like, I don't know, like honey roasted peanuts or something. I don't know. Something like
that's
that.
That's so interesting.
Why?
I don't know. It's just, I just,
oh,
I think.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say, I do too.
No. I just think it's interesting because I saw this, like, I actually saw this question on TikTok or something. Somebody doing like what your favorite road trip snack says about you.
Oh, okay.
They didn't mention those snacks. I don't remember what they said about anything, but I thought that's so interesting because I don't know. I just think it's interesting that everyone is so different.
Yeah.
Like, I would never get peanuts. And it's not like I hate peanuts, but I also am not a fan. Like, my wife will get peanuts, like the chili lime ones or something.
Ooh, those are good. Yeah.
And I'm like, get those
like
away from
peanuts,
me. I don't know. I'm like,
I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, yeah, chips are good, but I'm like, I don't know why. I just tend to go for like peanuts, and then I'm like, I need something sweet. So maybe also too, like, usually if it's sweet, I don't get like anything chocolatey. I just do, like,
I know. I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah, usually I would, but I was like, I don't know. I feel like it's easier to, I mean, no, but then they are messy. No, for me, they're easier to just
eat. No, because chocolate can melt. Like if it's in the car, it's like. But I do love chocolate, but I don't think it's the best road trip choice.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a trail mix or something.
Because then I'm also already having an energy drink and then or coffee. And it's just a bad combo.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
Okay, that's true. I try to not have coffee when I'm going on a road trip because I am pretty sure that I have IBS and coffee makes me have to poop like immediately. And my wife has had way too many times where I'm like, babe, we have to pull over right now. I'm going to shit myself. And she's like, you're a grown up. You're not going to shit yourself. I'm like, you don't know. I did it
once.
You're
like, I could. You're like, you never know.
I'm like, it could happen, okay? And so I try not to get coffee. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess I always get an energy drink.
Yeah.
So my favorite energy drink, I mean, my favorite energy drink of all time is the classic OG Green Monster. Mm. So I will usually get that at the gas station, and I'll get a big one, like the one where you can twist on. You're supposed to like save it for later. No, I'm drinking all of it.
You're like, it's gone.
Yeah, this is for me. This is
my
not for sharing.
Caitlin.
Okay. Don't worry. It's okay.
You're like, no, I'm totally fine.
Yeah. And then if they don't have Monsters, which some places don't have Monsters, it's like they have a deal with
weird.
Rockstar. And I'm not the biggest Rockstar fan. But if I have to get a Rockstar, I will get the sugar-free blue one.
Okay.
We haven't talked about this, but my favorite flavor is blue, and I know it's not a flavor, but it is because blue raspberry is not a real thing, and it doesn't taste like raspberries. Therefore, blue is its own flavor.
Exactly.
When you see something that is a blue candy, you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. I love blue. but I will usually get Takis.
Okay.
I love a hot chip, and they don't make vegan hot Cheetos in America. So Takis are accidentally vegan, if anybody didn't know. So obviously only the only some flavors, but the regular Takis, the Fuego ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's also funny because other people might think of regular Takis and not think of Fuego.
That's true.
But to me, that's regular Takis. Mm-hmm. I've tried the blue ones. Those ones are also accidentally vegan. But
oh, really?
They're not good. They don't taste blue.
They're not blue. They're not blue raspberry.
Yeah, that would be cool. And I never get chocolate either. Sometimes we'll get like Sour Patchies, or like my favorite sour candy is the straws, the sour punch straws.
Oh, those are good.
So sometimes we'll get those. But yeah, I'm really focused on getting an energy drink most of the time, getting my chippies.
That makes sense. That's the necessities, honestly.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I loved Snapple. So I would always get a pink lemonade Snapple.
Ooh.
I don't even know if they make that anymore.
I want to say they do.
Okay.
I'll look at the gas station the next time.
When I was a kid, my dad told me that it was illegal for a gas station to not carry Snapple.
Oh, my God.
And so one time we went to a gas station and they didn't have any Snapple. And I was like,
we're going to
call the cops?
Oh, my God.
Oh. You can't just tell kids things like that.
Like, it's illegal to do that.
Yes.
And then they think they grow up thinking that until they're like, wait a second.
Yes,
like,
my Grammy told me it was illegal to put your feet up on the dashboard. And so one time I saw someone doing it and I was like, oh, I'm going to get arrested. But it's just because she didn't want me to do it because it's not like safe if you get in an accident. You're going to like fly through. But
your legs are
going to
be literally, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom said the same thing. She didn't say it was necessarily illegal for your feet on there. But like, you know, when you want to like have them out the window, she's like, I saw someone get their foot like chopped off. And I was like, or same thing with hands. There was like, I used to put my hand out, but like, I was like a kid. So I was like hanging out. And so she was just like, what can scare her? Oh, someone lost their hand and their feet. And I was like, oh my God.
Have you seen Hereditary?
Yes.
Also,
that could have been me.
Yeah.
She's like, they lost everything.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so funny. Okay. So that's your favorite snacks? No more snacks you want to add?
Sometimes if I'm really feeling it, I'll get an ice cream. But that needs to be eaten before we're on the road because I'm a messy eater.
Yeah.
So it gets everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Do you have a hot take or burning desire about this movie?
Yeah, this movie. Okay, I had watched this movie before, but I had realized when I was watching it that I did not finish it.
Oh my
so
God.
That's I was like
me with Maggie and Annie where I was like, wait, what?
When I was watching it, I was like, this all feels familiar. But then I was like, oh, okay. I guess I must have like thought I finished it or like fell asleep or something. So the ending was extremely sad.
Oh my God. You're like, I didn't know that happened.
Oh my God. Maybe in my head, I knew once they said that obviously she had HIV.
Yeah.
But I think I just blocked it out or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just very sad. What
it
about you?
Sad. I had two things that I need to get off my chest. One is Holly's character is so annoying and too immature to be a mom. And
that's true.
She probably should have aborted. She's, I mean.
Like Jane told her to.
Yes. I'm like, I mean, I guess Jane probably will end up helping her raise the baby because she's a good friend. And now she's with Matthew McConaughey. Loser.
Abe Lincoln.
Yes. So weird. Okay. But the other thing I wrote is Mary Louise Parker is excellent at playing a tragic, dying sapphic.
She is, honestly.
Yeah. I'm like, why is she dying in everything?
It's like in her contract. You have to
die in this movie
because you're so good at it.
Yes. I'm like, but she's a good actor. So I guess that's why they're like, she's so good at dying. And, yeah, my wife was like, wait, which came first? This or Fried Green Tomatoes? Fried Green Tomatoes came first.
Yeah.
So maybe the makers of this saw and they were like, she was so good at dying.
They're like, get her on here immediately.
We need her in this. Okay, so fun. So we're going to take a quick breaky. And when we get back, we'll get into the recap. So get ready for a lot of emotions. Welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week, we are discussing Boys on the Side.
Yes. Okay. So the movie begins with Jane. That's one of the main characters, Whoopi Goldberg, singing yes. at a club. She learns that her and her band member are like pretty much fired because they've been replaced. And she's like, don't worry. There's a gig in LA. We're going to make it over there. But her bandmate, I never wrote his name down.
He's not important.
Yeah. I just put her bandmate, honestly. He's a man.
And he's dating someone really young, right? Isn't she say that? That he's – she –
Oh, really? I must have missed that.
Maybe he's dating someone that has a child because she said like, oh, you're going to be playing daddy or something when didn't want to come to LA.
Because the girl that he's with has a kid. So she's stepping up. I thought
she was so young because Whoopi and him were crazy. Both older. So I was like, oh, ew.
Okay. She's going to stay and play. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like okay, whatever.
So basically the bandmate doesn't want to go because he has a girl that has a kid yeah. and he is like, no, I can't. So she's just like, oh, fuck you. I'll go to LA. So she goes home and her place is actually really fucking big. Maybe that's just the way it is. But I thought her place was really nice. Her apartment.
I know. And I think even in the 90s in New York, they're in New York, right?
Yeah.
It's very expensive to live.
That is true. So even though it was nice.
It could be like, you know, a lot of movies where they don't really think about how much it would cost to have that yeah. place. They're like, true. Oh, yeah, a struggling musician would have this.
Right? I know. So she's like looking on – she's looking at the newspaper and she's looking for ads and she responds to one. So the next day she meets Robin. Robin is wanting to go to San Diego and obviously Jane is going to LA. So she's like, let's make the trip together because it's not safe to go alone. But Jane is like, this is not going well because I have nothing in common with you and our personalities clash. But as she's telling her this, her car gets towed. So she has no choice but to travel with Robin, yeah. which is kind of funny. I didn't think Robin was that bad, honestly. No. I just think, you know, Jane wasn't like liking her vibe.
She was kind of uptight because I think she said something
no
like
no smoking yes, in the car.
I was going to say mm-hmm. no eating in the car, but I don't think it was that. That'd it was be no crazy, smoking. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Like,
not
no,
even
I think
anything.
It was just no smoking. And she's like, I'm a cool lesbian singer.
That
I
smokes.
Need to smoke, which yeah. is. Probably not good for your voice, but that's okay. Exactly. Maybe she likes it to be a little raspy.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. So she has no choice but to travel with her. So they are traveling. They're on the road and at a restaurant, Robin's like throwing up in the bathroom. And Jane is like, are you okay? But she's like, I'm totally fine. Like, don't you know how to knock? I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
She's like in a public restroom. Okay. Yeah.
So when I saw this, two things.
Yeah.
First, she finds out somebody is in the bathroom because Niecy Nash, yeah. in like her first role ever, is like, is that your friend in the bathroom? You better go in there. She's puking or whatever.
Yeah.
And Niecy did an interview recently mm-hmm. where she was – my wife told me about this. But she was saying that I guess the line was supposed to be something different. And
oh.
she was like, no, I think – it makes more sense if I say it like this. And then mm-hmm. they actually listened to her and changed
wow.
it. And also that Whoopi kept laughing. And she's like, so they had to keep redoing the scene over and mm-hmm. over. And she's like, girl, you're the one that gets paid the big bucks. Like, mm-hmm. I'm getting paid pennies. And you need to get it together. And it's just funny because it's like we knew she was going to be a star
yeah.
from this tiny little spot she had cracking Whoopi
yeah.
up and changing the script.
Mm-hmm.
But also the thing I thought that they were going to say that Robin was bulimic. Because
oh,
I was
thinking
was
they were
going to
say she was pregnant or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
okay.
I was thinking.
I was like, oh, eating disorder. You're like pregnancy.
That makes more sense. That makes more sense.
It makes more sense.
It makes more sense,
yeah.
yours, I think, than that. But when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, is she pregnant?
I mean, they do love anytime someone's pregnant in a show or a movie. That's usually how you find out. They start throwing up and you're like, oh God, are they pregnant?
I'm like, yeah. not this.
Yeah, not this again.
So obviously they get back on the road and they stop at a hotel for a night. And Robin comes in because she's asking if Jane gets a certain channel. And,
HBO.
Yeah. And Jane is like, okay, I'm on the phone, but like, go ahead. And Jane is trying to get in contact with her friend Holly because they are in Pittsburgh and they want to see each other. And so Robin and Jane end up watching TV together and their personalities are so different, but I feel like they are getting along
yeah.
because, you know, they're just like, okay, we're different. Mm-hmm. Robin shares with Jane that she isn't sure about men. And Jane says, are you sure you're, like, into them? And then Robin's like, ew, no, like, no. And so Robin tells Jane that she dreams of finding, like, a good man with, like, a good job and, like, having some kids and stuff. But she never, like, got around to that. But Jane tells her, like, don't worry. Like, you still have time, you know?
Yeah.
So in the morning, they go to see Holly. And Jane gets off and she's, like, knocking on the door. And you can hear, like, a commotion in there. And Holly's just like, oh, hey, can we, like, reschedule? And Nick is, like, you know, getting upset because he can't find something, whatever. And then Jane's just like, no, like, I'm on a road trip.
Yeah,
like,
what I can't the hell? Just
come back and see you. And so she makes her way in and Nick is like throwing a fit. Like the place is trashed. And
so Nick is the boyfriend.
Yeah, Nick is Holly's boyfriend. Yeah. And Jane is like, I thought you said he was clean. And Holly's like, he is, but like he is just dealing. So he's mad that he can't find coke. And basically it turns into Nick attacking both of them because he's very upset and he is like not caring about anything. But what did I say? Oh yeah, Holly's boyfriend is out of control. So Jane is just like, no, we're gonna leave. But Nick will not let her leave. So that's why he's attacking.
Yeah.
And Robin comes up and she's like trying to defuse the situation, but Nick is still upset because he believes Holly stole his money and continues attacking them. So again, Robin's like, you know what we're going to do? They attack him again and Holly hits him over the head with a bat and they like freak out because they're like, oh my God, you could have killed him. Mm-hmm. But they're like, you know what we'll do? We'll tie him up and give him like supplies for when he like eventually gets out or whatever. Yeah. And so they take the money and they leave. And obviously, as they're on the road and they're doing their own thing, Nick is, like, able to get out from the tape because it's just tape, obviously. Yeah. But he is trying to answer the phone and he falls and hits his head and dies.
Is this another example? Didn't we talk about this, about how it seems like
so it's easy.
So easy to die because people always be hitting their head on a corner of something or whatever. Mm-hmm. They hit their head and then they just die.
Yeah, so.
Scary. Be careful.
If you wear a helmet at all times. Yeah, if you fall, protect your head.
Yeah, just immediately.
Just cover.
Did I tell you about when Wa fell the other day?
No.
Oh, this is funny. I don't
what
know.
What happened?
Okay, so Sailor, our dog, she's like she's 60 pounds. She's gonna be so mad at you. No, it was literally, it was so funny, but I did feel bad. No. Okay, so we were taking Sailor on a walk, and then Sailor found a tennis ball in this little park in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So Wa was like, oh, I'll let her play with the tennis ball. But she was like on a leash because this is not like a fenced place.
Yeah.
And Wa, for some reason, took the tennis ball and was like, boom, like threw it so hard. Oh, and then I was like, and then Sailor took off and then she drags her mom, Wa, behind her. And I saw her like, she was like doing good at first. I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't freak out. And then she said that like her knees were in front of her legs and then she just fell.
God.
But like she fell and like, this isn't funny. It is. Okay, she fell and went boing like against the grass. And she had, okay, then she like, I feel like she passed out for a second. I don't know, because I was like, what the fuck? So like I went to her and Sailor was just running around her in a circle with the ball, all happy.
She's like, Mom,
I got the ball, I got the ball. And she was like, eh, all happy. And I was like, what the fuck? And so I was like, oh my God, what if my baby is like dying, she would want me to get Sailor, you know, she would be mad. So I grabbed Sailor's leash and then while like kind of comes to or like is like, whoa. And she gets up on her knees and is like this, grabbing for Sailor. She's like, Sailor. And I was like, it's okay. I already got her. And she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, my neck hurts though. And oh, it hurt because she was boing against the ground and she had little cuts all over her face from the grass.
Oh,
that's why they call it blades of grass. It really could cut you. I thought that was crazy.
When did this happen? Yesterday?
No, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I was like, because I know you said you going for a walk. So no. I was like, is this what happened?
She's much more careful now because Jeez. I was like, really though, why did you throw it so aggressively? She's like, I don't know. I think I forgot that she was like connected to me and I thought it would be fine. But she's okay. And Sailor doesn't know that she hurt her mom.
She's like, I got the ball.
I got the ball.
She's like, that's all that I care about.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh my God.
That was a crazy thing that happened. And I felt bad because I I would just randomly start laughing about it. Like,
you're like sitting there thinking about it.
Like, we were sitting there later watching a movie and I was like, huh. And she's like, what? And she's like, are you laughing about me falling again? I was like, I'm so sorry. It was just literally like crazy because it was like all of a sudden she was flat on the ground, like her arms behind her and everything. But anyway, that's not how you should fall. She should have protected her face.
She should have literally got her head and she should have been wearing a helmet, first of all.
I know. Oh my God. She, because of who she is, because she's such a good mom, I think she was so focused on not letting go of Sailor that she didn't even think to protect herself. Oh. But eventually she did let go of Sailor when she fell anyway. So she should have just protected herself and let Sailor go.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Now people are going to be like, unfollow this podcast. She laughs at her wife falling. My wife laughed too, okay? We put it in the siblings group chat. Everyone was laughing. We were like sending gifts about it. Like, she's like, this was me falling.
No, poor wife. I'm glad she's okay. But the best thing is when you can laugh about when you fall.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's seriously injured, then obviously, like, that's a different story.
I know.
But, like, if you fall, every time I fall, I always laugh. And I tell everyone, I'm like, if you see me fall, you can laugh. Like, I don't know. It's just funny to me. Like, even actually for me, I think I'm the exception. When I fall and I'm, like, seriously injured, I still laugh because I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Yes.
Like, when I sprained my ankle, I literally, like, knocked the air out of myself. But when I, like, came to, I was, like, laughing. So everyone didn't think that it was, like, serious until they saw me.
They saw my ankle
and they were like, oh, and I was like, ooh, now it hurts.
Yes. No, that's crazy. Anyway, you should. We did take a thing at work one time that was like how to fall. Like it was like the most correct way to fall.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the way that my wife did. She did the opposite.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember, but it was something like you put your elbows out.
Oh, or like this?
I think. I don't know. We should look it up and repost it on Instagram.
We'll do a TikTok on how to fall properly.
Oh my God, let's
properly.
Practice falling. Okay, we'll figure it out, you guys, and we'll post about it. Anyway, I'm so sorry. So this guy is just very delicate, and he fell, and now he's dead.
I feel like he died because he was already injured.
Oh, yeah, because he got hit with the back.
Like,
he was like, whoa.
Delicate man head.
He seemed so delicate. I don't know. Anyway.
Honestly, the way he fell, I was like, really?
Really?
That killed you.
Really? But yeah, he died. So now it's like they murdered someone kind of, but not really.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're on the road thinking everything's cool, but he's dead. And so they stop at another hotel and Robin's like asleep. So Holly and Jane are talking. And Holly's like, you guys can just leave me. I'm going
to
take the bus. And Jane
because she wants
figures
to go
out,
home to him.
Yeah.
Right?
Jane figures out like, you want to go back to him. And she's like kind of lecturing her. And Holly's like, well, you know, you should talk to Robin because she's not gay. Because she thinks that Jane is like pursuing Robin. And Jane is just like, girl, what the fuck? Like, don't compare that because this man is like actually abusing you.
She's like, I would treat her so good.
No, honestly.
Like, this is different. No, but for real, it is like, I don't think that it looks like she is pursuing her. At least at this point, it literally looks like they're just traveling together. They're starting to be friends. So it's kind of like annoying that Holly would be like, oh, what? You want her? Like,
because
she's not
she's
even
gay.
And it's like, okay, this was like, makes me think of like my fear when I was younger coming out. Yeah. Like, oh, all my friends are going to think that I like had a crush on them. Because some people are like that. Because Holly is like, oh, you just met her.
Yeah.
You must have a crush on her. And then also, I guess they had something in the past.
Yeah. Like Jane had liked Holly, but then Holly was just like, no, I'm straight. And so then Jane was like, okay. And then she told her something like, you shouldn't have like crushes on straight girls because you're just setting yourself up for like rejection, which, yeah, I mean, that's true. But still, Holly is shitty for just assuming that because Jane and Robin are just traveling. She's just mad. She's defensive because Jane is calling her out and saying, like, you should not go back to him.
Yeah.
Because that's insane. Like, we literally just tied him up.
Yeah,
oh,
he's not
I
even
forgot
cool.
to mention before when they tied him up, Holly's like, you know, like teasing him. And then she takes a Polaroid of her and
like on
Nick.
His lap.
Yeah, like sitting on his lap and he's like tied up and bloodied. So anyways, the next morning, Holly's leaving and Jane is obviously pissed off about it. But Robin said this is her life. Just leave her.
Yeah.
So Holly gets on the bus, and then Robin and Jane see a newspaper reporting that Nick is dead because his neighbor found him, and they're like, local drug dealer found dead in his apartment. So they're like, holy shit. They chase after Holly, and that's they're so trying funny. To get her to understand. Yeah. They're like, he's dead. And then they she finally gets it when they show her the newspaper, and she's like freaking out. And they're like in this abandoned place.
This was the funniest part.
Oh, because yeah. She's just like,
they're like making faces at each other. She's like, and then Holly's like,
she's like, yeah.
She's and like, she's like flirting with all these boys on the bus. There's all these boys around her.
And they're like, what's going on? She's like, who's Morty? Like, what? Because Robin tries to do, like, she's like, Morty's like, the French word or whatever for dead or
she's
something.
Like, I can't write dead. And she's like, well, she doesn't know French. Anyway, it was literally so funny.
It was, but until Holly was like, oh, and she reads the newspaper. So they're like in this abandoned like place, whatever. And they're like talking about what to do. And Holly's like, oh my God, I can't believe I killed the potential father of my child. And they're like, what the fuck? You're pregnant? And she's like, well, it could be his. I don't know.
Oh my God.
And so they're like, oh my God. Jane is like, I need you to go back. I was like, whoa, I'm hearing things.
Someone's in trouble outside, guys.
Yeah. So Jane wants her to go back and basically say it was self-defense because it's true. Like, she was being abused. But Robin's just like, no, how about we just say that, like, you know, she hit him in self-defense, whatever. They left and they came as soon as they heard that he was dead, you know, mm-hmm. to like cover up. So then they're like, okay, whatever. But also, like you mentioned earlier, Holly does not want to get an abortion because she's like, that would make me a murderer. And Jane's like, you already are.
Yeah.
Like,
what the
you
hell?
Already killed your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So that's stupid. That's dumb. Sorry if you think that way, but you're dumb.
Pro-choice.
And so back on the road, they're like bonding and stuff, and they stop at a restaurant, and Robbie and Holly are eating dinner, and Jane's like sleeping in the car. So as they eat, Holly reveals that Jane is gay, much to Robin's surprise. She's like, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then Holly is basically giving her like a one-on-one on gay women, which she knows nothing about.
She doesn't. She's like, she's stupid. Had some sort of flirtation with Jane once and decided she knows everything about lesbians.
Mm-hmm. She's like, they're very emotional. That's what I know. Okay, girl. Okay. So the next day they are like stopping and taking pictures as Robin is like getting a flashback to her childhood. Like her mom and her standing with her brother. Her brother has since passed because he had cancer.
That's sad.
I know, that's very sad. And she had mentioned that she doesn't really talk to her mom all that much. So at another stop, Holly is like crying about Nick because it's finally hitting her that he's dead. And Jane goes to talk to Robin, and Robin passes out in the bathroom.
Oy.
And they take her to the hospital. So the doctor reveals to Jane that she has pneumonia, but it's like AIDS related. And Jane is like, what the fuck? She did not tell me that she has HIV. Mm-hmm. So she sneaks in and she visits Robin. And Robin is like, I'm sorry. Basically, I wanted to do this trip because I wanted to get away from reality. Like, if I were somewhere else, maybe it wouldn't happen, like that I would die, right?
Yeah.
And so Jane is like, it's okay. Like, I don't know why they were talking. But then Jane out of nowhere assures Robin that it's okay. Like, don't worry about me being gay because I know Holly told you. I'm not trying to pursue you.
Yeah.
And Robin's like, why not?
Yeah.
And Jane's like, you're not my type.
Yeah.
But so,
why do straight women always get offended if a lesbian is not trying to pursue
them? She's like, I won't do that because I know Holly told you that. And then she's like offended that she wouldn't like go for her.
Like, it doesn't mean you're not pretty.
It's just you're not her type.
But actually, we find out she is her type.
Exactly.
But still.
Still, she's like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't want to make her uncomfortable. So.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So then suddenly Robin is like kind of freaking out because she realizes that she has like nowhere to go. And again, she doesn't talk to her mom. And Jane is like able to calm her down. Mm-hmm. So fast forward 3 months later, they're in Tucson, Arizona. And Holly is like visibly pregnant, talking on the phone. And she's dating somebody. And mm-hmm. she wants to introduce the guy she's dating to them tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Robin is doing much better and she's like going somewhere to get something. So then what I assume is a gay bar.
Oh, it's definitely like a lesbian bar. Yeah. Everybody's
right. Everyone gay, there is, except
the bartender man.
Yeah, he's the so a straight man named Alex owns the bar, but like
there's, he owns it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that lady owned it. The Anna? One with the kids. Yeah. I just make things
oh,
up.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know.
Maybe oh, no, I'm you're wrong. Right, because he's just the bartender.
You're looking for me. I'm at the bar.
Okay, with yeah, him. He's just no. the bartender. That makes more sense to Anna.
Yeah, so. And also, everyone needs to know this. It's Harry from Dexter. So it's Dexter's dad, but he's young here, which is he's weird. Young, yeah. But we were like,
you're like, wait a second.
What are you doing here, Harry? Anywho, so sorry.
And, so at a lesbian bar, Jane is playing music with another band and her friends all surprise her with a cake for her birthday. So they've made a lot of new friends, including the owner, the bartender, and everyone the that's
gays.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the gays. Mm-hmm. Gay, queer community. Everyone yeah. needs it.
Legibitiqua.
So... Well, everyone's having a good time. I don't know why that's like making me laugh.
And it's funny. I laugh when I say it sometimes.
So what?
I crack myself up.
So while everyone is having a good time, Robin and Jane notice a cop come in and he's asking for Holly. And it's Matthew McConaughey, a young Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
I actually don't think Matthew McConaughey is like bad. I kind of like him in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I heard something somewhere that, like, he's Republican. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think so.
If I heard that, I know that he – something cool about him that I know is mm-hmm. that he speaks Spanish fluently.
Oh, cool.
He grew up in a border town in Texas, mm-hmm. so he kind of just, like, grew up knowing both, mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool because he's mm-hmm. very – white. And also I always remember the story about him, like the cops got called because he was playing the bongos naked in his house or
what
something.
The fuck? I didn't
in like
about
the 90s
that.
Or the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Also I've heard he doesn't wear deodorant. But that was also a long time ago. But you know how some people, especially men,
yeah,
be like, oh, I don't wear deodorant because I gotta let my natural pheromones so I can
That's
attract
what I was
my mate.
Gonna say.
I feel like he's like that. And That's I don't so want to smell man armpit.
Yeah,
I don't really
like want
to smell,
smell
anyone's armpits, to be honest. But I don't mind my wife's armpits.
Yeah,
she loves my armpits.
Hot
smell.
Take: I would yeah. much rather smell a woman's armpits than any man's, even if it yeah. smells bad. It's just like, okay, I get you, girl. You're fine.
It's
but if
fine.
It's a man, I'm like, you should have known that you were going to stink up the whole
Why
fucking
are you
place.
So gross and sweaty when a woman sweats. It's like, it's okay. She's glowing.
I always,
ew, you disgusting bitch.
I always think of, oh my God, what is that show called? Oh my God, it's like a TV show, but it's this one girl that Maya Rudolph voices, and she's like a monster, like the puberty monster. And she's like, oh, why do you smell so good? And she's like, because I don't wear deodorant and I only take bubble baths.
Yes.
I always think of that and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, bubble baths. Let me talk to you about vaginal health. Bubble baths yeah. are really not good for people with vaginas.
Yeah.
And I think it's crazy. We don't have to be so serious about this cartoon. But I'm just saying mm-hmm. that causes infections.
Yeah.
And that happened to me as a child from bubble baths. That happened to my cousins as children with bubble baths. Mm-hmm. Until like the parents learn, you can't be giving girls bubble baths. They mm-hmm. think it's fun, but the soap is getting up in areas it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
It will cause... It can cause UTIs because it can mm-hmm. get in the urethra. It can also cause like baby like yeast or BV. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, why would a little kid have that? Sometimes
because,
that's why. Because
yeah.
it's like, what are you doing? Anyway, I hate bubble baths because of that.
I never took a bubble bath because
oh
I always
never?
Had sensitive skin.
Oh, my God.
So after – I mean, maybe when I was a kid, my mom did. But then they found out I had eczema. So then it was like everything irritated me and I was just like, no. So I would just sit in the water.
Did you do oatmeal, though? You could do the oatmeal baths.
Yeah, we would do the oatmeal okay. baths. Yeah, the oatmeal baths were fine. That's the only bath that I would get. But never like the little bath bombs in there. I think one time I tried it as an adult and it fucked me up.
Yeah.
Like I was like, well, I just wanted to experience it. Damn.
No, that's why I feel bad because that's like, I love the smell of Lush,
right.
But their main big thing is the bath bombs.
What and I don't if do bath bombs. You what? Were to wear like a bathing suit or something?
Oh, I was going to say, what if I invented a pH balanced
bath could. Bomb?
I'm inventing it, you guys.
Kaylin's trademarking it. No one can do that.
It might exist, but mine's going to be cooler because it's probably boring if it exists. It's probably like a very basic one, and I want to make it look cool.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Why am I excited for this?
I don't know. I'm like, oh my God. Anyway, okay. Sorry. So sorry.
That's okay. So, the cop is looking for Holly, and they're like, oh my God, no, we don't know a Holly. But then, like, oh my God. They're like, we don't know who that is. Yeah. And he's like,
okay. She said she was going to be here.
So Holly comes down and she's like, oh my God, babe. And they're like, oh my God, she's dating him. And his name is Abe Lincoln. Yeah. Really funny. So they're dating and they're just like, oh my God, what the fuck? And
of all the people that she
all the people. And they're like, hopefully she keeps her mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, girl, this is the worst person. So then Jane, it goes to see a psychic later that night. And the woman tells her that there's like a curse on her friend. And she's like, what the fuck? But obviously Jane maybe kind of thinks like it's probably the disease that she has, unfortunately. Yeah. And so back at the house, Robin and Jane are like talking about sex. And there's like some tension. But I think it's funny that Jane was trying to get her to say cunt.
Oh my God. I was like, is this the part where she finally says cunt?
Yes.
She's like, cunt!
Because she's cunt! Like, cunt, C-U-N-T. But before she's like, are you trying to get me to say pussy?
Yeah, she was like, what do you call it? She's like, down there.
She's like, down there. She's like, you make it sound like a basement or something. Yeah. And then it made me think of like, what do you call your own vagina? Remember that episode that we had? And we were like,
yes. And also, I think we talked about it because Go Fish, because they had
that. Yeah, they were like, what do you call it? And someone was like, they said like the honey pot or something else.
Yeah.
They said some other stuff. I'm forgetting now.
I will reiterate. I call it my vajojo or my vajojo area because I know that the vagina is only a part of the whole area.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I need to learn to like the word vulva, but I don't like it. It sounds like
Volvo.
Weird. Yes, it makes me think of Volvo, which is my first car. But oh, that's I don't know. Cool. I like the word labia, but I don't like the word vulva. And I don't like the word mons pubis or like the mouth. I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know. But I recently learned that vagina comes from a word that like basically just means sheath for a sword.
Yes, I've heard of that.
And now I feel bad that I say vajojo because that's based off of vagina. And I feel like my vagina is not a sheath for anybody's sword.
Yeah, we will come up with another name. Yeah. I feel like I know what you're talking about. And they said, like, call it this instead, which means, like, something else.
Yoni.
No, it was something else. But, I mean, yeah, that could work.
Because I always feel like in the L word when they made fun of Bet, because she was like, I like Yoni.
Oh, yeah.
And they all, like, are judging her.
They're like, oh.
Also, I feel like it might be cultural appropriation if I call it that. I don't know what culture it's from, but I don't want to be appropriating on accident.
We will find another
anyway, term. When Robin first says cunt, she goes,
she's like, and then she obviously gets louder. And she's like, cunt, cunt.
It's like the penis game, but cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like talking and they're talking about sex because Robin is Jane tells her, like, don't you miss it? And she's like, yeah, I do miss having sex. But then I feel like there's some tension because they're looking at each other. But then she's like, okay, I should go to bed. I drink too much. Mm. And so she goes to bed.
Yeah.
But she tells Jane that her present is in the living room. And
oh,
so,
yeah, because first she thought that she just got her a Thighmaster. Because I think she gave her, like, a small present, a, like, silly like a, present
like
at
a gag
bar.
Gift or something. Yeah. And so Jane walks in and sees that it's a piano and it's so cute.
Sing us a song.
And she's like, so she's like playing the piano and she's singing. Oh my God, where did I end up? Oh my God, I can't see.
I don't remember what she's saying.
So I said it's a piano and then Jane is like playing the piano and she's singing and Robin watches her and
Loves her.
Yeah, she's like watching her and it's like really like, you know, like secret, but then there's like eye contact without them looking at each other. It's just intense, like, wow, this person is really cool.
Yeah. Maybe I'm gay.
She's like, maybe I do like her.
Yeah, maybe I do like cunt.
She said it so much, she's like,
I do like pussy. What are you trying to get me to say? Pussy.
So every time you say that, I was like, sake.
Sake, sake.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm so then sorry. No, it's okay. I'm like, where am I? So the next day, Jane is like trying to set her up with Alex, the bar owner, and she's like telling him that he's shy. And Alex is like, well, I thought she was like for the girls. Aww. But Jane's like, no, she's not for the girls, but maybe you should like ask her out or something. So then later that night, they're like at a festival and things seem to be going well. And I put Jan, the fuck. Jane is watching from the sidelines and she's like kind of like, like upset, but you know, what can she do? She set them up.
Trying to be happy.
Yeah. Them. So they're like flirting and they're dancing and obviously they're feeling each other. Meanwhile, Holly sneaks away to smoke weed, but Abe catches her and he's just like, girl, that's not good for the baby, first of all. Mm-hmm. And also, are you still hung up on Nick? And if does he know about the baby? And she's like, no. She's like, no, that's not it. And so obviously she's just like, okay, like she brushes it off and they go back. But then back at the house, Alex and Robin are like about to have sex, but she's like, wait, I have to tell you something. And Alex is just like, it's okay, it's fine, like I'll use something. And she's like, no, I have to tell you something, like very important. And Alex is like not trying to hear her out because he's like, it's fine, like I already know. Like, I already know what you have. And she's like, what the fuck?
It's like, really fucked up that.
How do you know that I have this? And he's just like, I don't, what do you mean? And he's like, well, Jane, like, it came out, like, she, it slipped. And he sort of guessed. But basically, Jane told Alex that she has HIV. And so, obviously, Robin is pissed and she, like, kicks him out. And,
yeah, I think it feels like I would feel humiliated because yeah. It's like they're talking about your personal stuff mm-hmm. away from you. And then it's like I think she said something like, oh, you're just going to pity fuck the dying girl or whatever.
She's like, you're bringing sex to the unfuckable.
Yes. And yeah. Like, that is what it would feel like. And I know he doesn't mean it like that. Like, he actually likes her. Mm-hmm. Jane shouldn't have told him, but mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know. Did she really think her friend wouldn't tell him and would have sex with him and would spread it? Because so she that's wouldn't. The thing, so she though, shouldn't have.
When he said it and the way they were talking about it, it's that like she's told Alex, like she's just very shy. She's a shy person, whatever. And then Alex had sort of guessed like, what, does she have some kind of like disease or something? And Jane like confirmed it, basically.
Yeah, she shouldn't have.
She should not have said that because obviously Robin wanted, that's her diagnosis to disclose.
Yeah.
Obviously. So then the next day she kicks him out. And then the next day she basically sort of confronts Jane about it and was like, why did you tell him? Like, you had no business telling him. And Jane apologizes and basically says the same thing that like, I didn't mean to, but like it did slip out. And, oh my God, what the hell am I? Oh yeah. So then they argue and Robin is like telling Jane, you know what? You should like move out. And so Jane is like, fine, I will. And Robin's like, and take the piano with you. So then meanwhile, Abe proposes to Holly, but she says that she cannot marry him. And she tells Abe the truth.
She's such a fucking idiot. She tells him the truth.
And she shows him like the Polaroid. Or well, he sees the Polaroid that she still has of her sitting on his like lap with him all like tied up.
She's stupid and she's gonna raise this baby to also be stupid and it makes me mad.
So then he's just like, okay, we need to think about this. And then she's like, well, no, now you don't want to marry me. And he's just like, let's just think about this. So Robin calls her mom and the mom like comes to visit her and at dinner, they're discussing Jane being a black lesbian and if Robin and Jane ever fucked. Yeah. And Robin's like, oh my God, like, let me ignore that, whatever. So then literally right after that, they have dinner and they're like semi getting along. But the next day, the cops come and arrest Holly for the murder of Nick. But Abe says that he will be sticking by her, but he must uphold the law because he took an oath. And he's like, but I still fully want to like marry her.
Yeah.
She's the person for me, but she needs to go back to Pittsburgh to like answer for this.
So he is a perfect example of like, I've heard that you can't have an IQ over a certain amount to be a cop because they don't want you to be too smart and start questioning things.
True.
And he's a perfect example of someone who is stupid
yeah.
and became a cop because it's like, he's like, well, I just have to uphold the law. Like, this is the most important thing in the whole world.
But I love her. They're going to treat her right.
So stupid.
Okay.
I was filled with rage.
But that's why they make the perfect couple, because they're both stupid. Yeah,
but they're going to raise the baby to be stupid. I hope that the baby not, questions though. Things.
No, hopefully not, because they have other people, like the bar people and stuff. Yeah. And then they'll have Jane.
Yeah. She'll be like,
you can't be dumb.
Yeah. Don't be like your parents.
So he's like assuring them, because Jane is there and Robin is there and her mom is like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So then Jane is still mad with Robin and she's like, don't worry, I can take care of the situation. Like, we don't need you. So back at Pittsburgh, Jane and Abe attend Holly's trial, and Jane is like still pissed off at Abe because she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But
she is called to the stand, and they're like, basically, the lawyer is such a fucking asshole too.
Yeah.
He's just like, but wasn't it true that you liked Holly? Like, is this romantic? Is that why? And she's just like, what the fuck? No. So Abe and Jane are arguing over Abe turning Holly in after, and then he reveals like he loves Holly so much more and it's why he had to do this. So then Jane is like, whatever. Okay. Like, kind of make peace. And at home, Robin's mom is telling her to like, basically let go of the past, because Robin is still like trying to recreate the trip because it was like a happy memory. And it's actually really sad because the mom is like, the only person that was happy was you. Like, everybody else was kind of like not.
Yeah.
They were miserable. The dad, her dad ends up leaving shortly after, and then her brother dies. And then, you know, she's like, I'm just trying to be a single, trying to raise you as a single mom. But Robin is like very emotional, and her mom knows something's going on, but she's like, I don't want to know what it is. I know that you're going to get through it, because you can't leave me here. You know, like, I've already lost a son, and children aren't supposed to die before their parents, basically.
And way to make it about you, bitch.
Right. And then Robin's just like, I know, like, I know, but she's crying. Mm-hmm. So then back, oh my God. Oh, yeah. Back, Robin goes to Pittsburgh to support Holly. And she tells Jane, like, I'm sorry. I'm so upset with you, but you're family and I love you. And then they, like, make up. And Robin does testify that Holly hit Nick in self-defense. So she's called to the stand as well. But Holly's lawyer is able to get an offer of a low sentence for 1 to 2 years and parole, the possibility of parole after 6 months in Arizona, where obviously everyone lives. And so she's really happy about it, and she accepts the offer, and Abe is just like, oh my God, like, everyone's celebrating. And Jane and Holly are just like, okay. So they go off to talk, and Jane is still apologizing to Robin. But as they're like talking, Robin passes out. And so she ends up in the hospital. So Jane calls Robin's mother to inform her, and Alex shows up to the hospital to support too. So Jane has a lung infection, because she's obviously very susceptible to like a lot of diseases since she has AIDS. And Jane goes back to the psychic to ask if she could take the curse off of Robin. Oh, and she's like, not to cure. Obviously, it's impossible to cure AIDS. And she's like, but she's like, can you just at least give her a fighting chance with the lung infection? Mm. So I thought that was really sweet, because Jane doesn't even believe in that stuff. But no. She's just like, can you do this? And the psychic lady is like, sure. So, what the fuck did I write? Oh, yeah. So then when Robin wakes up, she asks Jane to call her mom, because her mom's like doing something. And she's like having a vision of Tommy, her younger brother. Mm-hmm. And so Robin and Jane have like a heart to heart, and Robin's like, the crush you had on that woman, or Robin tells Jane about a crush she had on a woman when she was a kid, and then tells Jane, like, the person that you loved was me, right? And Robin's like, you know, because I love you too. So then yeah. Jane is like, yes, and they're crying, and they basically admit that they love each other. I know. I was like, oh and my God. Like,
man.
And it was so fucking sad.
Yeah, why do people wait so long to tell each other these things?
That should have been my hot take.
Everyone has a limited amount of time, and no, you never know when it's going to be your last day. Like, something could happen at any time, like, that you could fall and hit your head, like Nick, you know?
Oh my God. But you like, just have a weak man head and die.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yes. And so it's so sad that they were like not telling each other for so long, especially knowing that, like,
they both
she literally is dying. Like, she has a disease.
And, like, the whole fight and everything, too. I'm like, why? Like, yeah. But I understand that. I mean, that was obviously Robin, like,
yeah,
rightfully being upset with her. But I'm like, anyway, Jane should have still begged for forgiveness.
I know.
So they do admit that they love each other. How and sweet. Robin tells Jane that she wants her funeral in Tucson and she wants everyone to have a big party at the house.
So I'm finally admitting that I love you. Also, let's plan my funeral because I'm going to die soon. Dying it's soon. So sad.
She's like, but, you know, she's like, I know, it's so sad. So that's, she's telling Jane this, and Jane's like, okay, sure. So then fast forward some time, Holly gives birth, and they're laughing. They're Jane takes Abe to go see the baby, and they see that the baby is black.
So it's not Nick's.
So it wasn't Nick's, and they're just like kind of laughing. And then Holly's able to return home with her husband, Abe, now. They got married. And they're, like, greeted by all their friends. And Holly's, like, excited to see Robin. But she sees that Robin is, like, very frail. Like, she's in a wheelchair. She's not looking good. But she is able to, like, you know, let her hold the baby. And they're having, like, a huge party. And Robin's obviously, like, super out of it. But she starts singing a song, and she's too weak to finish it. Aww. So Jane is like singing the rest of it to her.
Stop, it's so sweet.
It's so fucking sad. It's, oh my God, it's You Got It. It's so sad. It's so sad. But yeah, she's like,
I forgot what song it was. Now
she's like looking at her singing it, and then like it shows everybody around the room. So as like Jane is finishing up the song, it like the room is cleared now, and Robin's wheelchair is empty. So we know that Robin has passed away, and time has passed. She's passed away, and Jane is saying goodbye to Holly and Abe because she's going to LA for an audition. And Holly's like, you got to be back though for Mary Todd because for Christmas, like, you know. So, you know, Jane is just doing her own thing. Holly and Abe are together, and it's a very sad movie, but that is the end.
Yeah. I thought I was going to make it through without crying, but then when you were talking about
it. Sad because I'm thinking about it. Like when like, she's singing and it's going around, and then, you know, towards the end when she goes back and it's like everyone's gone and the wheelchair is empty. It's like, geez.
I know.
So that was a very sad movie.
I know. It also made me think of, you know, we've talked about Andrea Gibson and the Come See Me in the Good Light documentary, and also like what Tig Notaro said about when she was with them and they were on their deathbed and they had friends like around them, you know, and then before she passed, she said, I fucking loved my life.
Oh my God, Galen.
I know, but it's just so, it's... I don't know. It makes me think of it because it's like, yeah, she didn't pass away at that party, but it's like everyone was there and she got to like see everyone. And you know, she wanted people to have a party when she dies.
She died.
Like oh, it's just too much, girl. Okay. She's so good at playing a dying person.
She is.
I really believe it. She's a very good actor. anyway, so move on to something lighter.
Yeah.
It's time for Munch Merge Murder.
Yes.
I did not put Robin on here because it's too sad because she dies. And yes, so I only picked people that, as far as we know, are alive at the end of the movie. So the options are Jane, Holly, and woman at the diner, aka Niecy Nash.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. Have you thought about this?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes, I feel like I know my answer honestly pretty easy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to merge with Jane.
Yeah.
I'm going to munch Niecy Nash.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill Holly.
Yeah.
Or murder Holly, my bad. Yeah. What about you?
Well, I would also murder Holly.
But, yeah, makes sense.
I think I would merge with Niecy Nash.
Mm-hmm.
I just love her, and I think she's so funny. And
she's
I know
so funny.
She was
beautiful.
Literally, this was just one little line. But yeah, her wife is a lucky woman. She,
honestly.
Niecy is thick as hell and always has been. And also is very funny and is a good person. But she's so beautiful.
She is.
I would munch Jane.
Makes sense.
I did like Jane's style a lot in this movie. It inspired my OOTD because it was like, I don't know, it was giving very like 90s soft butch vibes. But I love Niecy Nash.
That makes sense.
And what would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5 cherries?
I really liked this movie, but I hate a tragic ending. So I'd have to give it a 4.
Yeah.
I would give it a 5 if it was like a top favorite, but a 4 for me. What about you?
Well, I gave it a 4, but for a different reason. I gave it a 4 because it should have been more gay. And I think it should be remade and be more overtly gay. And then I would
maybe
give it a 5.
Maybe they could remake it.
Come on, Tello. We could do like crowdfunding. I like how we say it as if we have any experience making movies.
Right?
I'm like, we're going to do like a crowdfunding thing to do this and our Fried Green Tomatoes show.
I was just going
to
say, yeah.
I actually, just so you know, if anybody else wants to at Fanny Flagg, the author of Fried Green Tomatoes, I did message her because I couldn't find anywhere, but it was like, this is her official Facebook. So I messaged her on Facebook saying we were really interested in this and if she had any interest. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she hasn't written back, but I am also reading the second. There is kind of a sequel to Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't read it before because it focuses more on the child, Ruth's son. Mm-hmm. But there are a few mentions of Iggy and there are a few mentions of them being gay, obviously, because they mention like, oh, Ruth left Iggy at one point because she wouldn't stop going over to the river and drinking with the guys and Eva Bates. And remember I told you there was like this character that I think she also had a thing with that had the thing with the brother. Mm-hmm. So they kind of allude to it again. And also I think it's really sweet. I don't know if they just don't mention it, but they never talk about her having a special friend again. And I don't think she ever did because I feel like she loved Ruth so much.
She's like, I'm committed.
She moved to Florida with her brother and like after Buddy finished school and had like a roadside stand where she sold fresh honey and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she ever had another best friend. Mm-hmm.
Best friend.
Yes. Anywho, that derailed it, but whatever. I can talk about Fried Green Tomatoes forever. So if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram or TikTok and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. We're now accepting questions for our Dear Dykes advice segment. Send in your dilemmas and get help from us, your favorite lesbian podcasters. There's a link to the job form in the description of this episode, as well as on our link tree on all social media pages. Visit our Patreon and sign up to become a patron to get access to ad-free episodes, bonus content, and more. It will probably be launched by the time this episode comes out, but if not, be on the lookout, okay? We're going to start putting the info about it in the details of each episode. So we'll take a little break and we'll come back with a literary lesbian segment.
Okay, so welcome back. Today we are doing a literary lesbian segment. Take it away, Caitlin.
Yes. Okay, so I have 2 to talk about today. It's a double whammy. And I don't have the physical book, and I can't find the cover of the first book I want to talk about, but I will tell you about it. I actually heard about it on TikTok, and I was like, this is right up my alley. Mm-hmm. It's called Lavender and Jen, and Jen, like G-I-N.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
G-I-N.
Because I say Jen like Jennifer Jen. The same way as Jen, and apparently
Lavender
that's wrong.
And Jen.
But Jen.
Jen. Yeah.
G-I-N.
Yeah.
Alcohol. Lavender and Jen by Abigail Aronson. And it is set like in, wow, I wish I could remember what city it's in. I want to say it's Chicago. Mm-hmm. In the Prohibition era, so like the 20s. Mm-hmm. This is when Prohibition was. And there is a person who was a twin, fraternal twins, her and her brother. Her brother died in the war. But she, to support her family, assumes his identity and joins like a mob thing.
Ooh.
And so she's like living as a man in this time. And then because mobs basically always ran the gay bars because they were like illegal. So the mob is the one that's involved. Mm-hmm. So she was doing like bootlegger stuff. Like she would deliver the alcohol to the gay bars. Mm-hmm. And then she meets this like beautiful femme. And mm-hmm. then they, well, stuff happens, okay? But it's really good. There's only one sex scene in it, but it was pretty hot. I thought. But I kind of like that because some people are like, oh, I want the spiciest books possible. I'm not that big into it. Mm-hmm. Also, I should tell you this. People are very into these books. So I guess there's a three-parter. People are really into these books called like one of them was like House of Crimson Hearts. It's about like lesbian vampire and vampire hunter and they like fall in love. Okay. But it's all – they're constantly fucking. It's not really my thing. I read the first book in like a trilogy. I think the author's name is like Ruby Rowe. It's something very close to Ruby Rose, but it's not. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she's been posting a lot on TikTok about how she – in her new book, there's this scene where one of the girls like fucks the other with a femur bone. And I don't think that – I don't know. I haven't read the context. I don't know whose bone that is, but I would be really mad if I was dead and there is an afterlife and I saw someone fucking some girl with my femur bone. Like, are you kidding me? I think that's like kind of fucked up to the dead, disrespectful to the dead, in my opinion.
So, I'm still getting over femur bone, to be honest. That's femur! Insane.
Isn't it? Is this your femur or is this your femur? The thigh bone is your femur? Your femur? Your femur?
Whatever. Okay, it's a bone.
If I die, don't fuck people with my bones. Unless I'm gonna be so mad.
Unless you have someone's consent, okay?
I mean, I get... No, don't!
People can donate. Or you know how they do that where like, you can do this, this, and this with my body afterwards.
Yeah, I do not consent to anybody fucking anybody with my bones.
God. That's weird. Actually crazy.
I don't know. People are going to be like, okay, looking up this book, I want to know about this. Specifically
for the femur
scene. For the femur fucking.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, a book that I really, really like that mm-hmm. I told our producer about because I was so excited about it, mm-hmm. but I'm also going to talk about it on here, but I just told her because I think she would like it. It is called Sorrowland mm-hmm. by Rivers Solomon. I can't stop talking about this book. So if you're on YouTube, you can see the cover. I don't know why it kind of looks funky. You can't see the color that well, but yeah, it is really good. I read it. I have a little book club with my work friend, and she said that her friend read this book and that she really liked it. So mm-hmm. she suggested that we read it. I didn't think I was going to like it. I fucking love this book. It was so good.
What is it about? Good.
Okay. So it's basically about this person who they kind of allude to, and it says in the description that she is intersex, okay. But they don't really explain it that much, but they do say something at some point, like, oh, because of what's between your legs. So she just has different genitalia. Oh, okay. She's intersex, but she identifies as a woman, and she is queer. And she's, like, born into this, like, cult, mm-hmm. and it's, like a Black Power cult. Mm-hmm. So it's, like... I think some people that were in Black Panthers started this cult but it turned into weird because everything turns into weird when it becomes a cult. Cause there's mm-hmm. always someone that is a leader and is like, there's always a man that's like, I need to fuck all of the women and children. God. And so that's what happened. So then she ended up being a child bride to like the leader. So she was like 15 and she had to marry this guy. He like impregnated her and she ran away and then she had the baby in the woods and she's like raising her kids in the woods for like a while. But then she starts having this like mysterious illness happen mm-hmm. and she knows she needs to get to civilization, but she's like never really been to civilization. So she goes on this trek. She's like super strong, by the way. And she has all these things happening and those things are probably happening to her body because of the cult. They would like give them special vitamins and stuff like that. And then it turns kind of sci-fi. Like she gets like, I don't know. She gets like an exoskeleton basically. Oh. And she falls in love. She's gay. Anyway, it's so good. There's so much going on. And mm-hmm. at first when I was reading it, I was like, I would rather there not be the sci-fi part.
Yeah.
And it just be like a love story. But like towards the end, I was like, oh no, I actually really like this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really good. Mm-hmm. And the author is a Black queer non-binary person.
Cool.
And I don't know. It's just, I really, really liked it. I want to read more of their books mm-hmm. Because I really liked this. So
it sounded good.
Girl, yeah. So good. And I could see it being made into a movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was so good. Also, the person, I didn't tell you this, the main person is intersex, queer, Black, albino, and almost blind. So because a lot of people that are albino have like the issues with their eyes.
Okay.
So her eyes are like really sensitive, and she talks about like not really being able to see that well. Like she never really like learned to read because she couldn't see that well.
Oh, wow.
And like one of the twins has the albinism and one of them doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just adds more layers of like, this is so interesting. So it's really good, you guys. It's really good. You should read it. If you read it, tell me. Tell me in the comments or like something.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Girl, it's so good. Okay, so now it's time for queer trivia.
Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh. Didn't want to come out. Oh, do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope I don't get one about a poet.
Oh my God.
Is it about a poet?
Okay, so which romantic gay novel by E.M. Forrester was published a year after his death in 1971? Is it A, A Room with a View, B, Howard's End, C, A Passage to India, or D, Maurice?
I don't know. I've never read that, any of that. I'm going to say Maurice.
You got it right.
Yes! I feel like I've heard of that before, but I was like, I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm nervous for mine. I feel like it's 50-50 a lot of the times.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Who was the first transgender person to appear on the cover of Time magazine?
Okay.
A, Elliot Page, B, Caitlyn Jenner, C, Laverne Cox, or D, Chad Bono? I mean, Chaz Bono.
I was like,
I was calling him Chad.
I want to say, is it Laverne Cox?
Yes. Okay. Oh my God, you guys were literally so smart.
We are.
They should have a queer trivia Jeopardy version.
And we would win.
We would win. We'd be so rich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So thank you so much for tuning into But I'm a Lesbian. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform. Please leave us a review. That is the best thing that you could do for a podcast. Leave us a review so more people can see us. I hope that it's a good review. please help support the queer community by following us and telling your friends about us, and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, the algorithm's a bitch and we're just two lesbians with mics trying to survive.
Yes. So tune in next week where we will be reviewing Set It Off.
Yes.
Obviously a favorite of the pod. More so Caitlin's, I think.
I love
because of Cleo. Yeah. this film is available on Stars and, oh my God, Philo? Philo?
Well, I say Philo.
Philo. Okay. It's available on those places.
Yes. Okay. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.